When you don't know the answer, how willing are you to guess? And should that be rewarded? Welcome to Vox Talks from the Centre for Economic Policy Research. My name is Tim Phillips. When you're not sure of the answer in a multiple choice test, do you A, skip the question, or B, have a guess? It matters whether a wrong answer gets the same or a different score than an omitted question, because this type of exam is popular all over the world these days. And some of them, for example the SATs in the US that help determine which university students can go to, have a huge effect on a child's future. Even more important, there's evidence that the way we score these tests may be penalising girls, who are less likely to guess when they don't know. Now, Nagore Iriberri of the University of the Basque Country, and she's also a CEPR fellow, and Pedro Rebiel of ISADI Barcelona spent 3 years investigating the performance of thousands of Spanish school kids in a maths test, and they have just published their results in a new CEPR discussion paper. Nagore is our guest today. Welcome to Vox Talks.
Thank you. Hello, Tim.
Can you explain how the choice to guess or skip in these tests captures a difference between how boys and girls respond to exams?
One thing that it should be very clear is that when wrong answers and omitted questions are not graded differently, then the optimal strategy is very clear, which is you should definitely guess.
Mm.
Now, when there is differential grading, then the optimal strategy is not clear anymore, and it depends on mostly three things: how much you know, how much you think you know, and finally, your tolerance to risk, or what we call risk aversion. Now, it has been found that men and women, boys and girls, show differences in confidence, how much you think you know something, but also your tolerance to taking risks. If that's the case, and if girls tend to be less confident, and if girls tend to be more risk-averse, then they will use a very different strategy in guessing. What we try to study is basically how much this is going to affect their performance in multiple-choice tests.
What proportion of tests try to remove the incentive by downgrading guesses or rewarding the decision to skip?
I don't really know the numbers to tell you. So I would say that, for example, in academia, at the university level, where I have been teaching in two or three institutions, the use of multiple choice with differential grading is actually more the rule than the exception. This feature differentiates the grading for wrong answers and omitted questions. And this actually has a name, which is called correction for guessing. If we move away from academia and I go to a standardized test, such as the SAT in order to enter college in the United States, or even the GRE, these tests used to have a correction for guessing, particularly, for example, the SAT until 2016. Nowadays, the tendency is not to have this differential grading, this correction for guessing.
Your research took this huge annual maths test in Spain as an experiment over 3 years, I think. Can you describe the test and who takes it?
This is a math tournament organized by the math department of the Complutense University of Madrid. And the goal is to promote math among school kids. Any school in the region of Madrid can sign up to participate in this math test. And kids from 10 years old to 17 years old actually participate. Kids take on a Saturday morning in the campus of the Complutense University of Madrid. Of course, because kids have very different ages, they cannot take the same test. So there are four different math contests. So kids of 10, 11 years old take one, and kids 16, 17 years old take the highest level math test. They have an hour and a half. It's a multiple choice math test, and there are 25 questions and 5 potential answers for each of the questions.
In the first year, you tried 2 different methods, scoring omitted answers. What did you discover about how differences in the willingness to guess is affecting the scores of boys and girls and their ranking in this test?
One very nice thing about our collaboration with the organizers of the math contest is that up to 2015, every question of the 25 is scored in exactly the same way. So if you got it right, you could get 5 points. If you omitted the question, you are going to get 1 point. And then if you got it wrong, then you're going to get 0 points. We asked the organization saying, why don't we have in the same math test some questions having this grading as it has been, but then half of the test is going to have no differential grading. And this is a way of testing basically what was the effect that this was going to have in the boys and girls performance. So in 2016, we had these two types of questions. What we found is that girls left more omitted when there was differential grading compared to the part of the test in which there is no differential grading. This was affecting girls' score in a negative way, in the sense that the gender differential was increasing when there was this differential grading. So after we observed this in 2016, we asked the organization, can you do this two more times in order to collect more data? And at the end of the day, we have about 3,000 kids each edition. So we have a nice set of math tests.
When you repeated the experiment, you were also looking at confidence and overconfidence. How do you distinguish between those?
So we said, okay, let's try to dig deeper on what is causing this gender difference in the willingness to guess. So in 2017 and 2018, after the test, we administered a very short questionnaire trying to have some light on why they were using a different strategy. And we asked different things. In terms of confidence, we just include a statement that says, I am good at math. And we ask students how much they agree with this statement. In terms of overconfidence, we ask them right after the test, before they know how well they did, we ask them, how many do you think you got it right? The first thing, this statement of I am good at math, and their answer, we are trying to measure their confidence. And the second question, we take the difference between how many they think they get correctly and how many they actually got. And this we call overconfidence. In these two measures, we find significant gender differences. Girls tend to have less confidence, and they also tend to get closer to what they actually know, in the sense that their difference between what they think they got right and how many actually they got right is lower. So the overconfidence is actually lower for girls than for boys. And it turns out that these two things are explaining their willingness to guess. There is also one more dimension, which is risk tolerance. We also have a measure in order to measure their risk tolerance, and we also find significant gender differences in their willingness to tolerate risk.
So how important do you think what you're discovering here is in influencing life outcomes, differential life outcomes for girls and boys?
Multiple choice tests are not only taken in math, they're taken especially at university level. I would say that they're very common, and it's very common to have this type of differential grading. So if this is hurting girls' performance compared to boys' performance, then this has definitely implications for their test scores. As I said, most of the standardized tests, these are really highest stake tests that determine the entry to university. Their tendency is to not to have this differential grading. But even in everyday academic life, if this is used and if this is hurting a girl's performance compared to boys, this has important implications.
Is your intuition that there is a quick fix, a scoring system that we could use for all of these tests? Or is it more complicated than that?
No, I would say that the quick fix is really quick. And this is something that we recommend the organization of the math contest, which is take out the reward for omitting question. The quick fix would be have both wrong and omitted questions graded exactly the same way. Now, somebody could say, well, it should also be studied what happens when these rewards or these penalizations actually increase. This has been less studied. I would also like to go in that direction, but at some point, quick fix would be just to not have differential grading.
Do you see the same different gender attitudes to how to take these tests? Are you sure in the way that you're grading your students that you're eliminating these differences?
So one actually very nice variation we study in our setting is the differences by age. The nice thing is that, as I said, we have kids that are very young, 10, 11 years old, and we have that kid that much older, 16, 17 years old. These older students are actually about to go to university. So this would be closer to what we observe in every day in our the university level. If anything, we find that the gender differences are bigger in magnitude when we find older students. The implication would be that at university, we should observe exactly the same gender difference. If anything, older kids should show even stronger gender differences.
Some people who are listening to this thinking, well, actually, guessing when you don't have all the facts or you don't know the answers, that's an important life skill. And actually, we should be encouraging that. Is that something you agree with?
Yes and no. So as I said, the optimal strategy depends on how much you know, how much you think you know, and the risk preferences. I'm not sure if we should change risk preferences. I think preferences are something, or at least we want to believe that these are something that we are born with or we acquire in life. However, things that, for example, this confidence, this how much you believe you know, these are things that can be changed, and definitely these can be things that should be boosted and encouraged. But as a quick fix, we can go in two directions. We can try to boost people's confidence, but maybe it's easier just not to have this differential grading.
A few weeks ago, we spoke to Paola Giuliano of UCLA about her research into the difference between the performance of girls and boys in maths tests and how a lot of this can be attributed to different attitudes to girls and boys that they learn at home. So is it more productive to focus on the difference in the way we're bringing up girls and boys and how that creates different attitudes to risk rather than be thinking about how we're grading them in tests?
So this is a very interesting approach. I would say that, for example, let's start with gender differences that we find. So we definitely find that girls tend to show less confidence. In this task, which is a math task, and math task, we all know that it's a very stereotypically male task. So I think it's very important to try to break these stereotypes as math being or technical things being a male thing. Also, I believe that girls being less confident on a particularly male stereotypical test or task has to do with this stereotype behind it. So definitely go in the direction of breaking these associations. As I said about risk preferences, I think that's a very interesting approach. And I definitely believe that a lot of these gender differences in risk aversion might be related to how we treat, how we raise differently boys and girls. But I think we could definitely go in the two directions. So as I said, I think it's very important to break these stereotypes. I think it's very important to boost, especially girls' confidence in what they know. And finally, maybe also trying to have mechanisms, try to have ways of scoring tests that are actually not hurting individuals with particular types of preferences. So I think we could go in the two directions.
Absolutely. And as you say, there's no reason why we can't investigate both. Nagore, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Now, if you're coming up for exams, this is your life we're talking about. And even if you're not, it's extremely interesting. The paper's called Brave Boys and Play It Safe Girls: Gender Differences in Willingness to Guess in a Large-Scale Natural Field Experiment. And it's a CEPR discussion paper 13541. This has been a Vox Talk from the Centre for Economic Policy Research. There's a new episode every week, so follow us on your podcast platform. And there are 10 years of Vox Talks at voxeu.org/vox-talks.